The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. It is episode 116. I am Stephen Mill, just plain old Stephen Mill, and this is Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. How you doing, Ewan? You okay?
What? It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it?
How do you mean? Like, I mean, we're speaking and you are only, what, 2 days removed now from being a star of Channel 5 on Saturday night. 10 p.m. Saturday night, Channel 5, Ewan Cameron.
I'm not Channel 5, Ewan Cameron.
No, you're Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
I'm not Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
You
I'm
are just, Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
I'm just Ewan Cameron.
Well, wait a minute. Have I been on Channel 5 recently?
No.
Have you been on Channel 5 recently?
Yeah.
So you're Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. That's...
You're making it sound something bigger than it actually is. I was just...
You were on Saturday night telly, 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And it was the show that everyone wanted to be on, which was called?
When Parties Go Horribly Wrong.
When Parties Go Horribly...
I was just a talking head. I was there with
some...
You
were a talking head. And just to explain to people what a talking head is, because I think that's inside terminology that we're using there, to be honest with you.
So it's a clip show about parties that go wrong.
It's like You've Been Framed, except they cut to people like you and you go, oh, well, I've fallen off a table once as well and it was a nightmare for me.
Or you react to what you see.
Or you react to the clip. Right. Oh, that looks sore, that one.
So I was sharing the talking head responsibility with people from like Geordie Shore.
And that's why you had fake tan on.
Loose Women. Yeah, I did have a wee bit of fake tan on. You want to look your best
when
you're on national telly.
When you're on channel. And by the way, like you've obviously done telly before, but not real telly.
Not big telly. No.
But Channel 5 is like, that's every household in the UK has access to Channel 5.
Correct.
It's one of the main channels.
All right, Stephen, you're building up to something that really wasn't that massive, right?
When parties go horribly wrong, you can get it now on the Channel 5 player and you'll be able to see Channel 5's Ewan Cameron there. So from now on, and you've been asked back. You've been asked back as well. You went down that well that you've been asked back, haven't you? You're going down in February.
Yeah.
So exactly, you're officially Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
Right. You did this yesterday.
Right.
On the Big Scottish football show.
Yeah.
Right.
I did, yeah.
On the radio.
Yeah.
You're going, Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. See the amount of tweets I was getting about Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. DMs about Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
When Mark Wilson's on, you call him Dumbarton's Mark Wilson or Celtic's Mark Wilson. So you are Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
Stephen, I'm just Ewan Cameron.
No,
right? Listen, right.
I really appreciate you. Like, I really appreciated that you came and did the show yesterday because I thought, you know, he's been on the telly now, national telly. He might not want to come down with the little people. And it's great that you actually gave me a lift in today, which I was like, I'm in Channel 5, Ewan Cameron's car. And it was, by the way, it was a nice car. It's an Audi. It was like a Bentley or anything like that you would think like somebody for Channel 5 would drive.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate that you would be so humble as to give me a lift. I really appreciate that. It was really nice. And it's great that you're coming and doing the podcast as well, even though you are Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
Right. So I'm just an ordinary guy who grew up in Westerhills. Right?
Completely.
And I've got lucky in my life.
You have been shot to stardom.
No, I've not been shot to stardom.
As Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
No, I haven't. So I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm no different to you or anyone that listens to the podcast.
It's really nice you're saying that, but we're not on your level because you're Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. It's really nice you're saying that, right, but listen, you are... Uh-huh. You're up there with Lizzie Cundy now.
Right, so... When you watch the show, or if you did watch the show...
Sherry Houston.
Right. You will see that of all the talking heads, I look like the normal one. Mm-hmm. Right?
Even with the fake tan.
That is me.
And the double denim.
That is me. I am a normal guy sat there being asked to offer an opinion on some clips that have happened around the world.
Mark Stewart says, when parties go horribly wrong, it's when Ewan Cameron turns up. the iReady podcast, never watched it. Can imagine he was talking about a dinner party when he tried to make rice. I mean, because obviously you can't make rice. Thanks for the feedback on that as well. Lots of feedback, by the way. Obviously, you can leave your comments about Channel 5's Ewan Cameron on YouTube, because obviously if you're watching on YouTube, that is great. You can also leave comments on Spotify. I don't know how I've never discovered this before. You can leave comments actually on Spotify itself, so we can see them there, or at Big.
Why are you encouraging this?
Scott.
Why are you encouraging this? Because you're making it sound like that I'm something that I'm not. You're pretending.
Your channel finds
you
and Cameron.
You don't believe that I'm any better than you. You don't believe that. You're just at it because I don't see myself as anything other
than
a normal guy.
It's really nice that you still think like that, despite the obvious
Stephen,
fact that you
don't listen to a word that he says.
Your channel finds you and Cameron.
He's on the fucking wind up. Do not listen to a word that he says. I'm just me, you and Cameron. I'm no Jambo Bear. I'm no Channel 5's you and Cameron. I'm just you and Cameron. I'm just you and I'm the FUD. That's it. I don't need any of this pish that you're labelling me, because that Jambo Bear thing, I've now accepted it. I don't moan about it anymore.
I never call you Jambo Bear.
But you don't need to, because the job that you did when you launched that name, it stuck.
What do you mean when I launched the name?
You launched the name. You launched it on this podcast.
I made a joke and it stuck.
But you went on and on and on and on and on. And you think by going on Channel 5's you and Cameron that's going to stick as well. You're trying to do it again. And what I'm saying to you and people listening, I'm nobody other than you and Cameron, right? I'm you and Cameron. I'm accepting Jambo Bear now because I know I'm never escaping that. Yep. But this Channel 5's you and Cameron pitch needs to stop. It needs to stop.
Right, so you don't want me to call you Channel 5's you and Cameron?
Because I'm not. I'm not. I'm just me.
You were on Channel 5, though.
Stephen.
And you are you and Cameron. So that would technically make you Channel 5's.
This is a shit start to the podcast.
Now, it's only going to get worse once you get to the football. So this will be the highlight, trust me. So do you want me to give a message to people? To stop calling you Channel 5.
You don't need to say anything. I've said what I needed to say. I'm just me.
Okay, well, I want to back you up because you're my pal, right?
Totally.
And you're really nice to me. So what I would like to say to everybody who's commenting, obviously we're not doing this live, but I can imagine the comments are already coming in. Channel 5's you and Cameron, all that stuff. He's made it clear he doesn't want to be called Channel 5's you and Cameron. And you've not to call him that, okay? I'm looking directly into the camera now if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening, just imagine me looking down the camera. Please, do not call you and Cameron.
Shut up now, because you're pathetic.
Channel 5's you and Cameron.
It's just shite.
Okay.
The whole thing's just shite.
Okay, right. No. Listen, you obviously had a great weekend because you were on the telly, but...
Stephen, I didn't even watch it. I watched it later on. I didn't even... When it started at 10, I didn't even have it on.
I was watching The Godfather.
Good. I would rather watch The Godfather as well.
I mean, I think if you're comparing When Parties Horribly Go Wrong to one of the finest films ever made,
I agree with you.
I think that's a non-starter. As good as the programme might have been, I don't think it's probably one of the greatest films of all time. So, no. And then listen, that's fine. That's fine. And it's great that you're being so humble.
Right. Can I talk about the weekend?
You can talk about the weekend. Of course you can, right. Yes.
And I'm not mentioning what happened on the telly because you've done that clearly.
Channel 5.
So it's been a weird week between Christmas and where we are today.
Yeah, because this is still Monday.
It's bizarre, though.
But yesterday, all the football was on. There was loads of football on Saturday. I was at the football on Friday night as well. We had football on Thursday.
Yeah, today feels like a Sunday.
Yeah, it's
bizarre.
Odd.
It's really weird. But at the weekend... Excuse me. What?
Did you burp down the microphone?
Could you hear that?
That's not the sort of thing that Channel 5's you and Cameron should be doing. Do you think Lizzie Cundy is burping into microphones, eh? Or Scotty T or somebody like that.
Scotty T? Who's Scotty T?
Somebody for Geordie Shore.
Chloe Ferry was
think
on.
She's burping into microphones. I don't think so. Who else have we got in Geordie Shore, actually? Let's find out. It's years since I watched. I remember the first time I watched Geordie Shore and I was like, this can't be a real TV show. Because Charlotte Crosby shat herself in the episode that I watched. And I was like, oh, this can't be a real thing. But it turns out it was a real thing. So
there was a boy that was on...
Gaz Beadle? Was it Gaz?
No, was it Gaz?
You used to call him the parsnip.
Has he got a beard?
No.
No, it's not him then.
But anyone who watched Geordie Shore will know why he's called the parsnip.
The Channel 5 thing was Chloe Ferry and a guy from Geordie Shore.
Who we got? Scotty T. Was it Scotty T?
You got a beard.
Marty McKenna?
Have you got pictures up?
James Tyndale. It was James Tyndale. Was it him?
Yeah, it was him.
James Tyndale.
Yeah, James Tyndale.
Channel 5's James Tyndale.
He's ribbed.
I remember him. He was one of the original ones, to be fair. He was in the...
He's absolutely ribbed. Ripped.
Yeah.
Ripped.
Channel 5's James Tyndale. There he is. Oh, no, he'd be Geordie Shore's James Tyndale, of course, because that's where he's better known from. You're better known from Channel 5, so... Anyway, your weekend, sorry.
Yeah, so the weekend, it's just been a bizarre week between Christmas and New Year. Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, so did I. Lovely Christmas. Quite. Spend it with the family?
Yeah, it was. I was on driving duties, so it was fine because we were working the next day.
That's
so
right.
I was being sent.
Turkey and all the trimmings?
Turkey, we had ham as well.
Wee bit of ham, nice.
Wee bit of ham, which I had on a sandwich the next day, which was great. And yeah, all the trimmings, all that stuff. What about you?
Gravy, all of it.
Great gravy, actually. Very good gravy.
Good gravy.
Yeah.
No, lovely Christmas day with the family. I'm not the biggest fan of turkey. I think it's a bit too dry, which is why you have gravy. But it was lovely. And then we went to see... Thursday.
Boxing Day. We were on the radio.
Yeah. So we had planned to go and see Better Man.
The Robbie Williams film, Where He's a Monkey.
And I'm not going to name the cinema, so I don't want to send me an email.
But if you live in Falkirk, you'll know which cinema we're talking about.
But it wasn't in Falkirk.
Oh, was it
we
not?
Went out with Falkirk to this cinema on the Thursday.
Aha, it's a special event.
So there was myself, there was my wife Teresa.
So you were at Cineworld?
There was my son, Ryan.
You were at the Odeon?
And my 15-year-old son, Josh. Mm-hmm. And my 15-year-old son, Josh, has never, ever had an issue getting into a 15-rated movie because he's closer to 16 than he is closer to being 15.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 6'1". He's a big lad, looks older than his years. So anytime he's ever went to cinema, because he's got a
Cineworld card.
No, it's not Cineworld.
No, it's dead. By the way, I'd just like to clarify, it's not Cineworld. Definitely.
I promise you it's not Cineworld.
It's not Cineworld, but even though he has a Cineworld card, and this is nothing to do with this story. No, I mean, you can discard any notion this was at Cineworld.
So he's gone to like 15 rated movies, and he's never been asked for ID.
Obviously.
He's never been asked for ID.
Aye.
He's never been pulled up.
Everyman was at an Everyman cinema.
No, stop it, Steve.
Sorry, right, okay, I'll carry on.
And that's like in the last 7-8 months since he was 15, because he doesn't look his age, so they just let him go in. On this particular night, on fucking Boxing Day night, it was a family night out.
Boxing night.
It was a family day out. We bought tickets to go and see Robbie Williams' Better Man.
Definitely not a Cineworld.
So my two sons are getting large popcorn and a couple of Cokes. £16 it cost.
I was just going to say, so whilst you were trying to presumably remortgage your house to pay for that.
£16 for popcorn and two juices.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
£3.80 for a packet of wine gums.
Aye.
£3.80.
That's no great.
For a packet of wine gums. You know the wee bag you get? The bag?
Yeah.
£3.80. Robin gets. Anyway, so I'm stood where they check your tickets. I'm waiting on them buying their stuff. So me and my wife are stood there waiting. They walk over, and I've already got the tickets on my phone because it's a barcode thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do that. She went, the lad there at the back there, can I see his ID? I went, well, I don't have ID. I've never been asked for his ID.
And he's 15. What sort of ID will he have?
We need, because she just wanted to check it. And I went, well, he's come here on numerous occasions over the last 8-9 months with his friends, and he's never been asked for ID. And on this particular day, you've asked for ID. Yes, I've maybe made a wee mistake in not bringing ID because he is 15 going on 16, but he is definitely 15. Can't you see that he's 15? Even the colleague next to her went, yeah, I think... But because she'd already asked, she then had to follow it through. She knew she'd fucked up. And she wouldn't let him in without ID. So I sent a...
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Ruined my Boxing Day night thing.
Exactly.
Ruined it. And then Josh...
On the other hand, she was just doing her job.
But my point is this. You either do it...
And it's actually on your fault to...
Stephen, no, listen, I acknowledge that I maybe should have brought ID, but what my point was is that you can clearly see he is clearly even probably older than 15, which is why he's never been asked for ID before.
There is a reason why they have rules, Ewan.
Stephen, my point was this to the young
lady. The lassie was just doing her job.
I understand, and I get that, and I appreciate that. So I wasn't rude, I wasn't shouty or anything, because I'm not that person, right? But I did say to her, goes, look, my son has been coming to this cinema for years,
mm-hmm.
And in the last 9 months, 8 months or so, he's been coming with his friends. He's never been asked for ID at any point, neither was his pals. But on this particular day, you've asked for ID. Now, my point is, you either ask for ID every single time or you don't ask at all.
They don't have to, though.
But that's not the point, Stephen. That's what annoyed me.
You could have been...
the fact that we've not had any issues before. We've never had an issue before. I've been in that cinema with my son to go and see that Mad Max thing, rated 15. Did I get stopped? No. Did my son get stopped? No. We never got stopped.
I know, but that's fine. That you could have been a mystery shopper, and she could have lost her job if she hadn't ID'd you.
So,
or ID'd your son.
My 15-year-old son says, "Why don't you go in and see it? And I'll just sit in the car and watch something on my phone." Couldn't you do that on Boxing Night? Boxing Day night? Couldn't do that.
Could you not have just gone home and got ID and came home?
No, because the film was starting in 10 minutes.
Well, again, that sounds... very much.
Right, doesn't it, Mark? Ruined my night.
Right.
So we all left as a family, went back to the house. So that was a really shit Boxing Day night. We'd eaten nice dinner, looked forward to going to see the movie.
Did you keep the popcorn and the juice?
We fucking paid 16 quid for it, right?
And here's a question, right?
16 quid.
You know how there's meant to be that thing where you shouldn't take food into a cinema?
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to take food out of a cinema?
Well, we did. They weren't stopping us because they're
just
projected.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, because they get pissy all the time about
What I will say is this. I sent an email with a copy of my son's passport and also a picture, etc. And just was really nice in the email going, look, we've never had any issues before. Yes, I understand that I may have made a mistake in not bringing ID, but we'd never had an issue in the past. But it did ruin our night and we did leave.
You want this individual sacked?
No. And I just went...
she will be now, though.
No. I didn't even...
Disciplined.
I didn't even name the person. I didn't even do any or what time we went. No, that doesn't matter. And I just went, because I wanted my money back for the tickets. That was all. Yeah. And they were nice enough to reply and have sent me the vouchers for just to go and see any movie we want. And that was nice. That was it. That was all. Okay. Even though it ruined the night.
Even though it ruined your Christmas.
But go and play my movie music. Thank you. Now, I was going to give you the top five movies of 2024 because every week I give you a review of something to watch.
Yeah, and sometimes, to be fair, sometimes it's not films. Sometimes it's just documentaries and TV shows. And it's generally things that are out in 2024.
Things out in 2024. So I've watched a number of great movies recently. Oddity, The Substance, Long Legs, Carry On, which I thought was very good.
Pretty sure you that one.
You weren't that enamoured by it.
No.
But I'm not going to give you a countdown of my top five movies of 2024. I'm going to give you the best movie of the year.
Of what year?
2024. Better Man.
The Robbie Williams monkey film.
The Robbie Williams biopic is without doubt, and you're going to laugh at me, but I'm telling you, it's the best movie of 2024.
Of when?
2024.
Thank you.
Only just came out there on Boxing Day. We went to see it the other night there. Sunday night we went to see it. Saturday night we went to see it. It is, for me, the movie of the year. Unbelievably good. Now, let me just give you a brief history of my relationship with Robbie Williams over the years. Love Take That. And then Robbie Williams went solo, and I loved his early solo stuff. Brilliant. Millennium, Rock DJ, brilliant. And then he went into that strange phase of Rude Box. Thought he was a rapper.
Shite.
It was just shit. And then he got a wee bit arrogant. His personality didn't quite suit who I thought he was. And he went a wee bit off the rails. And so I fell out of love with Robbie Williams. And so did my wife. My wife wanted to marry him. My wife wanted to shag him. He was on the top three list for my wife. So if he came along, then I'd have to say, yeah, you can have Robbie Williams because we have an agreement. We both have a top three list.
Right.
But then my wife fell out of love with him as well. And then he did a four-part documentary on Netflix a couple of years ago. And it was his life story on Netflix. We watched that and we thought, I'm back in love with Robbie Williams. I understand him as a person.
Job done.
I understand him as a person.
Job done from a PR point of view.
But it was about him as a person, as an individual, who he was and what he was about. So I fell back in love with him. Then went to see Better Man, the biopic of Robbie Williams' life. And if you're like me and you fell out of love with Robbie Williams, or they're not the biggest fan of Robbie Williams, your opinion will change after watching Better Man. It is the movie of the year. It is sensational. And yes, it's a CGI monkey, but within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you forget that he's a monkey. The film is that good that you completely forget you're watching a monkey playing the part of Robbie Williams.
And the reason they had him play, or had him as a CGI monkey, effectively, is because they wanted this film to be all around the world.
Yeah, because...
And Robbie Williams is not a thing in America, for example.
At all. And the other thing...
He couldn't crack America.
So the guy who directs it was the director of The Greatest Showman. And you know what that movie did? That movie was a huge success and won loads of Oscars, etc. So he also said in an interview, another reason we thought it'd be a good idea, not just because the American audience don't know who Robbie Williams is, the other idea behind it was because you'll feel more empathy for the monkey than you would for a human being. Now, if you think about it, I'm more empathetic to a dog than I am to some human beings.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And and the guy is bang on. Seeing you watch this movie, I was in tears. I'll fully admit it. I was in tears on two occasions. There wasn't a dry eye in the cinema. It is a fantastic movie, and fair play to Robbie. He's hung himself out there to dry. He doesn't hold anything back. It's dark. It's controversial. There are things admitted in this movie that I didn't know anything about. Yeah, it's just, I don't want to say too much more. Go and see it. Movie of the year. Better Man. Robbie Williams biopics at the cinema. And it's that good. Me and my wife are going to go back and see it on Tuesday, tomorrow.
It's the movie of 2020.
The movie of 2024, Better Man, Robbie Williams. Go and see it. Whether you love him or hate him, trust me, forget that. Go in with an open mind and just watch the movie for what it is. Best biopic ever. It's what Rocket Man and Bohemian Rhapsody wish they were. I love Rocket Man. I love Bohemian Rhapsody. But this is what it should have been. Because what I think they did is that they kind of like, with Bohemian Rhapsody in particular,
they watered it down
massively. It was like a PR thing for Queen. They didn't want to do all the controversial stuff involving Freddie Mercury and what he got up to and what he did. And they skirted around certain issues. See the Robbie Williams one? Didn't skirt around anything. It's that good.
There you go. Do you think Channel 5 will give you your own movie review show? No, they might see this and think, you know.
No, Stephen. Stephen.
No, you...
See when I was down in London? When I was down in London?
You've got your foot in the door.
Right. See when I was down in London? The producers and everybody that worked in this production company at Channel 5 didn't have a clue about any of this in Scotland. They're in their own little London.
Of course they didn't. They're in London.
They're in their London bubble.
Yes, of course.
They didn't even know that existed. They didn't know about Clyde One, Forth One, or anything like that. They're oblivious to it all.
But now they know you, and they realise...
There's talent in Scotland.
There's
talent.
There's people. they'll realise there's people. That's what I'm saying. They might see this bit of the podcast and go,
"Very good."
Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 5 movie review show.
Channel
5 movie.
Mate, you're stuck with me. I'm not going to Channel 5.
No, take me, will you? Right, okay. Ewan's underwear advice from last week. Quite the feedback on that.
What was underwear advice?
About raking through your other half's drawers to see what size they are.
Oh, yeah, if you're going to buy them underwear.
Scrambros, I love how Ewan cracks out advice like we're all as stupid as he is. What a fud. DVD Ecos A. Thanks to Columbo for giving us the insight to discover what sizes of clothes our partners wear by checking their labels. Out of interest, does Ewan know that you can get directions on how to cook rice by reading the back of the packet? That's two references to the rice, actually. That was an early
discovery. Yeah, it was.
Tony Henderson. Surprised the girl working in the lingerie store didn't immediately call the police when Ewan failed to answer some rudimentary questions regarding his wife. Young WX, Ewan, I know you think you are sly, but the woman knew what was going on when you went into the fitting room. Gary White says, Ewan picking Christmas presents that he wants for his wife. Poor woman will be opening wrestling figures this year. You famously don't like wrestling, though.
I don't like wrestling.
And George Robertson says, you can tell Ewan was standing in the middle of Ann Summers with an anti-nemi. Great, never heard that before. Great, I will be using that.
Did I say it was Ann Summers? It could have been Victoria's Secret.
Aaron Wheeler says, utter woke nonsense is what I said when I saw Ewan and Stephen call the quiz a draw. Oh yeah.
We should cancel the draw for Christmas.
Woke. The podcast has gone woke for Christmas. And Mike Bannerman says, I was dancing with my wife in our living room to Ewan's Jambo Bear song. It is quite catchy, to be fair.
It's a catchy song. A few people picked up on that.
Right, Burt Reynolds is back. There's no such thing as a conspiracy, says Ewan Cameron, who also believes in ghosts and poltergeists.
What was that in reference to?
The refereeing stuff, I presume.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There is no conspiracy with referees. I've never believed that. And I've worked in football a long, 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 long time. I remember speaking to, do you remember back in the day, the likes of Willie Young and all that?
Yep.
Those referees from back in the day when they were Hugh Dallas and people like that. So I was quite pally with all of them because obviously I worked on the Real Radio Football Phone-In between 2002.
This is the Real Football Phone-In with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
By the way, it's producer Scott this week, and that's good because he's, you know, he's learning. He's learning. And he's probably slicker than what sweaty octopus fucking shitebag producer John's like. Lazy bastard, actually. Lazy bastard, sweaty octopus, shitebag producer John, who's yet again not here because, funnily enough, Fokker dropped points at the weekend again.
Right, see before I talk about Willie Young and that, did you... Oh, look, I just got a text message for you.
Oh, that's odd.
You can see it.
Matt Goss.
We're pals.
Aye, well, it would be, because you're on Channel 5. he wants to get in with big celebrities, Channel 5's Ewan Cameron.
Matt Goss wants to meet me for a drink.
Well, he would do. He probably saw you on Channel 5.
Oh, shut up!
On Saturday night.
Anyway, I've picked up the phone for a reason. And
what is that reason?
So before we get to the Willie Young stuff that I was about to talk about in regards to conspiracies involving referees, did you please tell me you saw this? If not, I'm going to, obviously, if you're on YouTube, you're going to see this. And so what is it that we've nicknamed producer John after he'd avoided us after Ayr had beat them 5-2?
Yeah, and obviously,
and last week he
notoriously
was
lazy.
Yeah.
So I called him lazy bastard, sweaty octopus, shitebag producer John.
Did you see this tweet that somebody put together?
I did.
The picture.
From Mark Hughes. Not Mark Hughes.
James Duffy.
Oh, it is another one.
You not seen that?
Oh, yes, the AI picture.
The AI picture. Can you zoom in on that?
It is very good. Yes. That is lazy bastard, sweaty octopus, shitebag producer John in the radio studio there.
Thank you, James Duffy. That is sensational. That is brilliant. Thanks for that,
but also,
mate.
I don't know if you can zoom in on me, Scott, as well. You'll be able to see this picture, and it was from the Falkirk Dunfermline game on Friday night. It was the wee boy giving
V-signs. That's right.
Obviously, that's a wee bit out of vision. I don't know what's happening there. Oh, I don't know.
There it is.
God, I have a large face. So, yeah, that was a lot of people saying that that's lazy bastard, sweaty octopus, shitebag producer John, whenever he makes a mistake, which is very often, but...
Anyway,
producer's got us much better, I would say.
So, getting back to Willie Young.
Yes.
So, and Hugh Dallas and the like from that day. Who was other big ones at that time?
Kenny Clark.
I've got his number. I've got pals with Kenny Clark.
Do they not all do like after dinner?
So, I was about to say that. So, I got to know them really well when I was working on the Football Phone-In because not only
they're dropping all the big names, Kenny Clark, Matt Goss, who else?
So when I was doing the Football Phone-In, Ruff and I used to do a lot of sportsmen's dinners together. We used to host sportsmen's... So I'd host it. Ruffy would do his thing. But we used to always work with the likes of Kenny Clark.
John Rowbottom.
Willie Young. All these guys would come up and tell stories. So I got to know them really well. And honestly, you can't help yourself, but you do ask the questions about managers you didn't like, players you didn't like. Did you ever give a decision knowing it was the wrong decision? So those sorts of questions I'd ask all the time. And this is private conversations that I was having with these people at a table at a sportsman's dinner. And I can tell you right now, at no point did I ever suspect there was anything other than them trying to do their job professionally. I don't believe for a second there was ever any conspiracy. I don't believe because if you thought they were a Rangers fan, they were given decisions in favour of Rangers. That wasn't the case. If you thought they were a Celtic fan, they were given decisions because they had a wee soft spot for Celtic. They were given decisions against them or for them or whatever. There was none of that going on. I genuinely believe that every referee that stepped out onto the pitch in my time working in football did it to the best of their ability. And like anybody in any walk of life, and any job that they do, They're going to make mistakes. They will make mistakes. You make mistakes every day of your life. So do I. And so do many people who are listening to the show or watching the show. We make mistakes in our job and in life and in relationships. Nobody's perfect. There is no conspiracy. I don't believe it. 100% don't believe it. I think they turn up to do... I mean, what are they going to gain from it? They don't gain anything from it.
There was some hilarious YouTube comments that I'm not actually going to read out because they're so hilarious.
What, from...
Like, with regards to, like, stuff from last week, it's just, like, mental.
Is it like Mulder and Scully conspiracies?
Aye, just absolutely mental. You know who you are, silly people.
I don't believe it, Stephen. And listen, I love a good conspiracy. You know that. And people listen to this podcast regularly know I love a good conspiracy. Like, I think the CIA killed JFK. I don't think we went to the moon. The Loch Ness Monster doesn't exist. There's no such thing as Bigfoot. I also believe that aliens are living under the sea. I also believe that aliens are living under the ice caps in Antarctica.
Cool.
Right? So I'm... Why? What was that? Cool.
Cool.
Right, so, listen, I think that there's some, like there's a lot of conspiracies around the 9/11 thing and all that. But, so, I'm not somebody that doesn't believe in some conspiracies. I'm also somebody that likes to discuss conspiracies. I don't think there's a conspiracy when it comes to Scottish refereeing. I don't think there's a secret club there where they all sit around deciding what they're going to do and they're all in it together. I don't believe that.
Okay.
Because see, if that was the case, somebody would have broke rank by now and said something.
You'd think so. Right, a couple other things to speak about before we get on to the weekend's football. BBC Scotland have agreed a new TV deal with the Championship. So they're also going to be showing highlights of League One and League Two matches as well on their website. So 30 Scottish Championship games per season. I quite like the Friday night football. The thing I don't like about it is that 85% of the money from this deal will go to the Premiership teams. So I know there was a lot of Championship teams.
Say that again.
So all the SPFL negotiate TV deals as a whole.
As a whole, yes.
So that means if there's a TV deal specifically for the Championship, even though the Championship are the ones who are being affected.
So if it's Falkirk versus Dunfermline, that's a Championship game on a Friday night, the money goes...
to 85% of the money goes to the Premiership. But the the Premiership's argument is, you know, the top flight TV, 15% of the money comes down the way. So that's their argument against it.
But why can't they just let the money stay in the Championship? Why?
Well, the real winners from this will be... Celtic, they will gain most money from this Championship TV deal, which is insane.
It's crazy. But that's crazy. That won't be the same down south, will it?
They're separate.
The Football League, exactly.
Football League. Barry Robson has been appointed Raith Rovers manager. Got announced last night. Thoughts on that one?
Remember the no podcast?
Yes, you said you had an exclusive from the guy. Was it Scott?
Scott.
And then he
messaged me last night.
But also he claims that you didn't read out the message properly the last time.
But so it shows you that he was right, that Barry Robson was in the running for the job before the boy Collins got it.
Yeah, but he wasn't right because the boy Collins got it.
No, but he was there.
Right, okay.
He was in the running.
You were like, breaking news, exclusive.
Yeah.
He's going to be the Raith Rovers manager.
That's how I read it.
That was about 4 months ago.
That's how I read it, but we've eventually got it right. So well done to the no podcast and the boy Scott. So you got your man eventually. Is that a good appointment? You'd know Championship football better than me.
I don't know. Like, I think Barry Robson's quite untested. I don't think he did a particularly good job at Aberdeen, but that doesn't mean he won't do a good job at Raith.
Could he be a Jim Goodwin? Failed at Aberdeen, but then went down to Dundee United.
Jim Goodwin had much more experience by the time he went to Aberdeen. He'd been in charge of St Mirren for a few years.
Good point.
He did well with Alloa before
that
as well.
Forgot about that.
So I think Barry Robson is still a wee bit untested, but he could turn out to be a really good appointment. I don't know. I think Raith will be fine this season, and I think they'll probably end up pushing for the playoffs, if I'm being perfectly honest with you.
Do you?
They've won three in a row.
Do you think they'll be a playoff team?
Yeah, I think they've got a pretty decent squad. I think the squad needs a wee bit of surgery. But I think Barry Robson, out of the folk they could have appointed, he's probably no better or worse than a lot of other ones. I don't think it's a terrible appointment.
Good luck to Barry Robson.
And also, I would expect Dunfermline to appoint a new manager over the next 24 to 48 hours, and that will be the Kelty Hearts manager, Michael Tidster.
And why is it taking so long?
Well, I don't think it's really taken that long, really, because they only sacked McPake this time last week. So I think...
No, but this boy's been in chats for a while, as you know, like a good number of days.
Yep. Michael Tidstar met with Dunfermline on Friday.
And here we are on Monday, nothing done yet.
And I think everything is agreed between Dunfermline and Michael Tidstar, but between Dunfermline and Kelty Hearts...
Nothing yet.
There's no agreement yet. And I believe they are meeting today to thrash out a compensation deal, because it won't just be Michael Tidstar that'll be coming along, it'll be his assistant as well.
So it's his team coming with him?
Yes. So it's Michael Tidstar and his assistant. And I think from the Kelty point of view, they're obviously needing compensation because Michael Tidstar's a player manager. So they're losing a player as well as a manager, yeah, as well as an assistant manager. Yeah. So I think there's a few things that need negotiated there, and I'm led to believe that they are probably speaking as we speak just now to try and thrash that out. But Michael Tidstar will be the new Dunfermline manager.
Could you get a text?
Yeah, probably.
It could happen during a show if they reach an agreement quickly.
It could do, yeah. I wouldn't imagine there'll be too many difficulties. I think they'll go through. I think it'll go through. Michael Tidstar has already said his goodbyes. There's been a lot of stuff floating about online in terms of, he told the players on Friday and all the rest of it. That was rubbish, because they had a game against Dumbarton on Saturday. He told the players after the game that he would be leaving. So they got the game out the road, they got beat, and he told the players after the game that he would be leaving, and he is going to be the new Dunfermline manager.
So interesting times.
So yeah, interesting appointment. I think, again, obviously I really, really want him to do well. I think he's highly thought of at Kelty, definitely. I mean, he took over Kelty when they were in a complete mess, after the previous board had buggered off to Raith Rovers.
Aye.
All the big spending was gone. He's had to do it on a complete shoestring. They're a couple of points off the top of the league. I know they got beat on Saturday.
But still, he'd be challenging for the top position.
I think...
Happy with that appointment if that goes through?
Yeah, I'd be cautiously optimistic. Obviously, it's a gamble. He's only 34 years old, right? But, you know, two of Dunfermline's greatest ever managers were about that age when they got appointment, Jim Leishman and Jock Stein, and they did okay. So I think everyone will get behind them. I think there's a lot of people who are like, oh, is this a sort of cheap appointment? I don't understand that. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they want to go for a young upcoming manager who's playing attacking football and hopefully does well.
Interesting appointment.
You know what? I'd rather him than one of the...
Round the merry-go-round.
We tried that with John Hughes.
Yeah,
got us relegated. Loads of experience.
Understood.
Peter Grant, disaster.
Yeah.
Even going back to Davy Hay, disaster.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it's a good... It's
something a wee bit out of the box, but he will be, barring anything mental happening, he will be the new Dunfermline manager. Right, let's move on to the football.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
Do we have to?
And we'll start with the Premiership, right? I'm not even going to go back to Boxing Day, because obviously there's been a podcast between then and now, but it's all been said. But I'll run through the results anyway. Celtic beat Motherwell 4-0. It was Dundee 0, Ross County 3. Kilmarnock thumped Aberdeen by 4-0. St Johnstone 1, Dundee United 2. St Mirren beat Rangers by 2-1, and of course, in the Edinburgh Derby, it finished Hearts 1, Hibs 2. So all going into the weekend, this is what happened. Let's start in alphabetical order, shall we? Celtic, 4-0 winners against St Johnstone, as comfortable as it comes. Brendan Rodgers saying after the game, a fantastic 2024, unbeaten at home, I think, for the full calendar year as well. Yeah. Which is obviously a great achievement. 14 points now ahead of Rangers. Straightforward victory on Saturday. But if you look at the entire year for Celtic, I mean, even since the start of the season, they've only lost, and it was a thumping, but they've only lost to Borussia Dortmund. So they've started the season unbelievably.
Kasper Schmeichel, 14 clean sheets in 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
14 clean sheets.
I think they've only conceded 4 goals in the league.
Yeah.
Which is ludicrous.
Yeah. I said here a number of weeks ago, Celtic will win the league. I did it with Mark Wilson. Yeah, Celtic will win the league by 20
what
points.
What did he say? Interesting.
10. I said that Celtic will win the league with 20 points.
Does he hang the league's over?
Plus. Well, he didn't then at that point.
Right.
I think he probably changed his tune now. But I said then with Mark Wilson, I think Celtic win the league by 20 points plus. And they could be 17 clear come Thursday night.
Yeah.
When they play Rangers at Ibrox. But that was a walk in the park. It was like a training game for them.
No, there was...
What I would describe as, it's a nice wee warm-up game before the main event at Ibrox.
So they obviously rested McGregor, Maeda, lots of players as well, and then they brought in these young, untested players worth £11 million, like Engels.
Bernardo.
You know, I saw a tweet from Tom English at the BBC criticising both Celtic and Rangers for not starting any Scottish players and not trying any young players out. Lots of Celtic fans pointing out that the previous week against Dundee United, Celtic started five or six Scottish players, so I think it's only fair.
Welsh and Ralston, etc.
Exactly,
et
so I think it's only fair to point that out. However,
I think Tom's point is about the young players coming through the academy.
St Johnstone had one shot on goal the entire game. There was absolute, like, particularly, so, you know, Kyogo scored the third in the 64th minute. You're not telling me that they could have chucked on somebody from their youth team.
The academy,
to give them 25 minutes at Parkhead, a nice run out, a nice easy game, see how they go.
Yeah.
And they didn't even... What also confused me as well, they brought in McGregor and Maeda. What are they learning from that? Like, you would even as well just resting them.
Aye.
You know what I mean? Like, what have you got to gain? Now, I know there's Celtic fans probably going, oh, you'll do anything to criticise Celtic. Absolutely not. Like, Celtic have been phenomenal. They've got a really, really strong squad. But what we're saying, as fans of Scottish football and the Scottish national team, Celtic hoover up all the best young players and then don't play them. So why? What's the point? What's the point in Celtic having a youth academy if they don't play any of their players? And what I don't understand about this as well is it could be a real moneymaker for Celtic. If Celtic start blooding young players of their own for financial fair play and everything as well, before we even get into that, like, they could sell these guys on for quite a bit of money, easily.
Celtic fans were taking it as a slight on them. They were getting upset and angry at this even being pointed out. But I want, surely, if you're a Celtic fan, I want to see...
Kieran Tierney, the next Callum McGregor, James Forrest.
Yeah,
you want to see these guys.
And there's nothing better than seeing a local lad doing great at your boyhood club. And if I'm a Celtic fan, instead of being upset of the criticism of Celtic not producing young players or giving them a chance when they're 4-0 up or 5-0 up at home to Ross County or Motherwell or St Johnstone, they should be asking questions of their academy coaches. What is going on there? If the players are not good enough from their academy to get on the bench and play for Celtic when they're 4 or 5-0 up.
Here's
I would be questioning that and be going, hold on a minute here. We're spending a lot of money on this academy. We're spending a lot of money on these players and nobody's getting an opportunity. Why is that?
If you're Daniel Cummings, for example, right? Daniel Cummings is a striker who currently plays for Celtic B. He is 18 years old. And for Celtic B, he has made 43 appearances and he's scored 32 goals. He scored 6-6 in their Youth Champions League games.
Has he?
Why is he not on the bench and being brought on for a run out for the last 15, 20 minutes?
Have him on the bench every week, and when the game is out of sight, you've won it. Get him on. Just keep giving him 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here.
I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. And I did see a lot of the reaction to Tom's tweet, and I was like,
they're missing a point.
You're missing the point. It's not like nobody's saying that Celtic in a difficult away game at Tynecastle should be starting four youngsters.
Correct.
Nobody's saying that.
And when you're drawing 0-0 at Tannadice, 0-0.
But when you're 3-0 up with half an hour to play against the bottom of the table.
Yeah, 100%.
Stick on a, like...
100%.
Why are you bringing on Callum McGregor?
Yeah.
What's the point?
You watch teams like Liverpool, right, who give young players a chance. And Brendan Rodgers was really good at that when he was at Liverpool. He gave young players a chance. It was him that brought on Raheem Sterling and people like that. So he's known and has worked with youth teams at Chelsea. He's always been good with young players. I don't know why Brendan Rodgers isn't giving these young players an opportunity. It doesn't make any sense to me because he is that type of coach who likes to give young players a chance. Are they not that good? But then you look at that boy's stats.
Like, what else is he meant to do?
That's my point. What is he meant to do? I mean, those stats are phenomenal.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal. And then you look at the boy James Wilson at Hearts. He's 17. He's been given an opportunity. He's scoring goals.
Yeah.
He's scoring goals. Now, he's been brought on 10 minutes here, 10 minutes here, and he's starting a couple of games now and he's scoring goals. But I agree with Tom's point and I agree with what you've been saying now.
Now, this is something that it was triggered by Tom. Now, we've been saying this for months.
Years.
Yeah, we've been saying this for years.
Been saying it for years.
And just for the interest of fairness, Celtic are not the only culprits.
No, they're not.
There are other teams in the Premiership. But the reason we're pointing this out is because this was a perfect example. They're playing St Johnstone. One shot on target St Johnstone had. There was no chance Celtic were going to lose this game. And even then, from half an hour to go onwards, you know, from the 64th minute, Celtic were 3-0 up. There's no reason why they couldn't have brought on some young players. That's exactly the sort of game that we're talking about. We're not talking about going to Ibrox and playing youth players. We're not talking about that. We're talking in games like this, and they still don't do it.
And the other thing as well, and I'm using Liverpool as an example here. Liverpool, in the quarterfinals of the League Cup, they go to Southampton, see the amount of young players they put on that day. Mm-hmm. Trying them out, giving them an opportunity. They have a lot of young players on the bench, and they will bring them on for 5 or 10 minutes when the game's out of sight. They make changes, they do that. They're very good at it, Liverpool. But then when Celtic play a League Cup game at home to Morton, it's their best 11. Their best 11. Really? Really? Come on. You don't need... You could even put... No disrespect to Morton. When Celtic are at home to Morton and you play your best 11, that's laughable. You could turn up and play Morton with one leg tied behind your thigh.
I don't think you could.
I still think they win. Mm. I actually think the Celtic could still win the game against Morton without a goalkeeper.
I don't think that's true.
They could.
I don't think that's true. But I get the point you're trying to get at. But yeah, so I find it bewildering why Celtic don't do that. And if I was a Celtic fan as well, I'd find it bewildering why they
don't. Because of the academy. You've seen that academy. It's amazing.
So anyway, it was an impressive, yet another impressive win for Celtic against St Johnstone. Hibs are absolutely flying. 5 wins in 6. 4 wins in a row for David Gray. The top 6 is within sniffing distance. Triantis with the only goal against Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock, who had, their 75th sending off of the season. Danny Armstrong, we'll get to that in VAR WTF. But yeah, Hibs...
They're good.
They didn't play as well as what they had been.
Didn't have to, though.
Didn't have to, and they ground it out. And that's a sign of, you know, a growing confidence within the team, I would say.
This was a team that was conceding goals left, right and centre. Never really looked like they were going to lose a goal yesterday. I know that they were down to 10 men, Kilmarnock, after Armstrong got sent off, which is great for Hearts, because apparently Hearts are signing them. So, and we'll talk about that later. I'm impressed with Hibs, and I said it yesterday on the football show that we do on the radio. They're threatening top four. They will threaten top four.
They're 10 points behind at the moment.
They will threaten top four. I think that they are a really good side. I think they'll make changes in the January transfer window. I did say ahead to the Edinburgh Derby that I feared that game. I said it on the podcast last week. I said it on the radio. Hibs were favourites for me going to that game, and they thoroughly deserved their win. They deserved their win against Kilmarnock. I think that they are threatening top four. Aberdeen are on the slide, and I think that Hibs... Honestly, you might laugh at me. I think Hibs can catch them.
Okay. In terms of Kilmarnock, obviously a cracking win against Aberdeen on Boxing Day.
Huge win, great win.
I mean, Derek McInnes will just be absolutely tearing his hair out. Another sending off. It's the eighth of the year.
We will get to it. I don't think it's a second yellow, but we'll get to it in just a second. The thing about Kilmarnock is they're not having the best of seasons. I think they've been really unlucky in some games. The sending offs that have happened regularly haven't helped. I'm going to say it now. I want McInnes at Hearts now. Get him in through the door for January. Get Critchley out. I want McInnes. I've been saying it since the summer. McInnes needs to be in Edinburgh. He needs to be at Tynecastle. That's what our football club needs right now.
You're so back and forth with Derek McInnes.
I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
You really are.
At the end of last season, have I not always shouted from the rooftop about McInnes for the Hearts job?
You have said on a number of occasions that Derek McInnes is not a big club manager.
Oh, Stephen, you're doing this again, and I can't be arsed with it because we're about to get to the Hearts game, and you're going to have a laugh at that at my expense.
I think you're getting this all wrong. Just to summarise, you called him a bottler because he turned down the Rangers job,
and he was
back in the day,
and he was a bottler then. He was a bottler.
You said he's not suited to a big club.
My fear is this:
it's not suited to a big. Wait. Then, at the end of last season, you're right, you did say get Derek McInnes in as Hearts manager. Then, at the start of this season, you were like, Kilmarnock should sack Dean McInnes. He's doing a terrible job.
I never said that.
He's taken them as far as they can go.
I did say they've taken him, not sack him. He should leave. I said he should leave. He can't do any better than he's already done for Kilmarnock.
And now you're wanting him back in at Hearts.
No, I've always wanted him at Hearts.
Okay, right. That's fine. Right, we don't need to go into it again.
Right, so McInnes at Hearts, please. And some people might go, oh, what kind of job's he doing at Kilmarnock this season? Well, let me put this to you. It didn't stop Bayern Munich getting Vincent Kompany when he got Burnley relegated, because there's a good manager in there. McInnes is a really good manager. He knows Scotland inside out. He knows the Premier League. He knows our league. He knows our players. We need McInnes in our club. We need somebody with his gravitas, his power, his experience, and his know-how in our club. Critchley is not the man. I know we're going to get to the game in just a second. I'm sorry, Kilmarnock fans, but I want McInnes. We need McInnes. He's too good for you. He's done as good as he's ever going to do with Kilmarnock. It's now time for a new challenge. He needs to leave Kilmarnock and get his ass up the road and get into Tynecastle.
Okay, St Mirren losing at home to Dundee by 2-1. Simon Murray, a couple of goals for Dundee, and
Saw that coming.
They were in a wee bit of a slump before getting into that game. Dundee, three games without winning. St Mirren dominating possession, and I don't know. I think Dundee probably. I think a draw was probably a fair result, I would say. If I was looking at the highlights, I think St Mirren had plenty of the ball chances as well. But Dundee will be delighted with that, obviously. And as you say, you know, nobody saw that coming.
Nah.
Especially after St Mirren beating Rangers on Boxing Day as well.
And they're so good against Rangers. Especially that first half.
I thought the first half.
They were really good. They should have been out of sight in the first half.
And then last night we had Dundee United versus Aberdeen. A 94th minute winner. It was Holt with the long throw, header, goal. Delirium in the Dundee United end.
Full house.
It wasn't the best game. I think, to be fair, the weather probably played a
I thought Dundee United were the better side, though.
Yeah, to be fair.
Their keeper made some really good saves.
Mitov did have some good saves. However, I didn't think Aberdeen played that poorly. I thought they knocked the ball about pretty well. And they did have a couple. Jamie McGrath should have scored.
Yeah, he should have done.
There was also another one where Nisbet just sort of missed his touchback. Again, it was to McGrath. He was knocking it back to McGrath, and he just sort of balls it. And McGrath would have had, you know, a free shot on goal from about 15 yards.
Yeah.
I thought Aberdeen were a wee bit unlucky not to get a point. When I was watching it, I was like, Aberdeen are really struggling for set pieces. Corners, throw-ins. They were struggling to defend them, and they were under a lot of pressure. And obviously, that's where Dundee United got the goal for. I mean, brilliant Dundee United. They've just been fantastic this season.
They're 3 points off Aberdeen.
3 points off Aberdeen now, which is...
And four points off Rangers.
Yeah, well, five, I think.
Five
points off Rangers. So, yeah, I mean, an incredible season. Jim Goodwin's done a fantastic job. And, you know, we'll get to the Hearts game in a second, but... You know, when you score in a last-minute winner or a last-minute equaliser, like Dunfermline did on Friday night as well, football's the best game in the world.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just fantastic. Great scenes at Tannadice. Aberdeen...
Can we just... I'm just going to say this, and I'm not tarring every Aberdeen fan with the same brush, because it's not the case. There's a couple of people within that support who need to be identified and banned for life.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Goodwin made the point yesterday that he was getting stuff thrown at him from the Aberdeen fans.
An empty bottle of vodka.
Lighters, coins, and all that stuff. CCTV, those people will be identified. They have to be identified. That's scum behaviour. But again, that's not the Aberdeen fans or the Aberdeen support. These are ball bags. These are not true supporters. And you should never tarnish every Aberdeen fan because of a few arseholes. I've always believed that. These arseholes are not the Aberdeen support. Identify them, name them, shame them, ban them for life. Scum behaviour. Not needed in the game.
100%. Let's move on to Ross County versus Hearts then. And
oh, do we have to?
Yes, we do, Ewan. Because, as you said, James Wilson, couple of goals. Cracking finishes as well. Looks like there's a striker in there.
Right, just keep going. Just get to the point you want to make. The point you want to make.
I'm just telling people in case they didn't know.
People, how do they not know? They know what happened. The Hearts were 2-0 up. Get to the point. Don't elongate it. Just go.
Then we got to the 97th minute.
And
we were in the studio. And then I think it flashed up. It was like, oh, Ross County have scored. And you were like, ah, consolation goal.
I did say it live on the radio.
Consolation goal.
Don't worry about it. It's only a consolation goal.
And just to give you a wee sort of behind the scenes about how the radio works, we were just going into an ad break. And I literally, we had like 15 seconds because it was counting down. And I was like, oh, Ross County have scored. And you were like, oh, consolation goal. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. So I go into the break, like news next and all the rest of it. And then just as the news was about to start, I was like, oh, what's that flashing up? And that was Ross County getting an equaliser. I mean, ludicrous, ludicrous scenes for both goals. Shocking defending from Hearts. Craig Gordon's had a nightmare for the second as well. And Jordan White toe pokes it in, and Ross County feel like they've won the match. Hearts have somehow managed to chuck away a two-goal advantage in the 97th minute.
It just sums up our season. It just, that 45 seconds to a minute sums up our season.
However, I did ask you this yesterday. Would you have taken a draw before
Stephen,
the game?
Fuck off. I'm sick of it.
Would you have taken a draw before the game?
Do you know what? This is...
Ross County's a tough place to go.
Is it times like this where I wish I wasn't working in football? Because every single week since the start of this campaign, on the podcast and on the radio show that we do, you're using me as a comedy punch bag.
No, I'm not.
No, you are.
No, I'm not.
No, you absolutely are.
I said that was a perfectly legitimate question. No, it wasn't, Stephen. Would you have taken a draw?
But I couldn't say it on the radio on Saturday or yesterday, but I can say it to you now. Go fuck yourself. Right? I can say this to you now.
Right.
No, we're 2-0 up.
If you weren't 2-0 up,
I don't give a shit, Stephen. Right. Did I not say I fancied Hearts to win yesterday? I did.
You were nervous, though.
I was nervous, but I thought we would win. I thought we would bounce back from that because I thought we had to get a reaction to what happened against Hibs. And we did get a reaction.
Yeah.
And we got a reaction. We were 2-0 up. We should have seen the game out.
However...
And then Critchley! Critchley, for fuck's sake!
You surely can't blame Critchley
for... The substitutions!
You can't blame...
I am!
You can't blame him for that!
Stephen,
How can you blame Critchley?
But who are you to sit there and tell me who I can't fucking blame? I'm the Hearts supporter. You're a Dunfermline fan.
So?
You worry about your team, I'll worry about mine. Let me have my opinion on my club, and I'm telling you right now, Critchley fucked that up with his substitutions.
Well, he didn't.
He did! He fucking did!
Craig Gordon chucking Stephen, the ball to Jordan White.
No, fuck off.
You keep dropping your pen.
You know nothing. You know nothing.
Do you mean I know nothing?
You know nothing.
How can you blame...
You don't know. You don't fucking watch the game. You don't know our players. You don't know our team. You don't know what was going on before that.
How could you blame Neil Critchley for Craig Gordon having an absolute brain fart?
Stephen.
I think you're being a bit harsh on the manager here, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think that you should...
You need to stop throwing the fucking line out because I'm not biting.
I'm genuinely... How can you throw the line out.
I can see the fucking worm. It's there. But I'm no daft. I've done it once. I've done it twice. But I'm no fucking biting it again.
How's Craig Gordon...
Oh, Stephen, stop it.
...making an absolute arse of it? Neil Critchley's fault.
Stephen, I'm talking about the first goal. The first goal, which was a defensive error.
Neil Critchley playing at centre-half?
No, but you made a... Up to that point, we had... Oyegoke and with Rolls, right? At centre back pairing. Mm-hmm. He made substitutions in that position. When we were being bombarded back to front by Ross County, he then removes Oyegoke. Why? Nobody knows. He changed two of the back four. Why? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Only he knows. It was like his daft fucking substitutions in the Edinburgh Derby, taking off our best player and Blair Spittle down the left with James Penrice. Did we have any control of the game when we made those changes against Hibs? No, we didn't. We basically went to Hibs, you go and have the game. Their substitutes had an effect on the game. Our substitutes had a negative impact on the game. We brought on Danda, who did fuck all when he came on, but we take off our best player for the season, probably up there for player of the year alongside James Penrice. We take him off. No effect on the game. We made other changes against Hibs. No effect on the game. He made changes again against Ross County that didn't need to be made and affected the game in a positive way for Ross fucking County, right? You're telling me don't blame Critchley. I'm fucking telling you Critchley's to blame. He needs to get out of my fucking club, right? And we need, what's his name? Fucking him at Kilmarnock, McInnes. Move on, next game.
At least you didn't bite, so that's fine. Motherwell 2, Rangers 2. Lots to talk about in this match. Motherwell 2-0 up at the break. Rangers finally putting some decent players on at half time. And surprise, surprise, it made a difference. So lots of VAR calls, which we'll get to, obviously, in this one. We said at halftime on the show yesterday, is this the final 45 minutes of Philippe Clement in his Rangers tenure? Now, as it stands...
What time is it?
Quarter past 12 it is.
On a Monday?
Yeah.
Why is he still on a job?
So even regardless of coming from two goals down, you keep him on a job. You still sack him, sorry.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was 7 or 8 points behind Celtic when he got the sack.
I think he was 6 points behind.
Six. I think Michael Beale was 7 points behind Celtic when he got the sack. They're 14 points behind Celtic. Likely to be 17 points behind Celtic on Thursday.
So you think Celtic will go to Ibrox and win?
They won't lose.
Right.
Okay. They won't lose.
So minimum 14 points, you're saying?
15.
No, it won't be 15 because you get a point each.
Oh, aye.
That's how draws work, you. If you draw, you get one team gets a point and the other one gets a point. Ross County got a point yesterday, and so did Hearts. They each got a point.
I'd seriously consider not coming in today.
How?
Because you're just being an absolute fanny.
We're talking about Rangers.
You're being a fanny, and you're my pal, but I'm just pissed off because...
Right, no, we're talking about Rangers now.
I made a faux pas there by forgetting that if you draw, you both get a point.
Yeah, quite a big faux pas, I would say.
Clement, in the job right now, is a surprise. He should have been dragged into the office last night after he got back from Dundee.
Binned. Why was he in Dundee? They were playing Motherwell. So you live in Dundee. But an odd place to live if you're a Rangers manager, I would say. It's a better commute.
You've stressed me the fuck out.
I've not stressed anyone out. Have I stressed you?
You're shitting questions about Hearts.
Philip Clement living in Dundee, apparently. Or maybe he just likes going to Dundee after the game. Maybe he likes Fat Sam's. Who knows? Right, anyway. So
He should be out of a job.
So
He has to be out of a job.
Do you think, you know, Rangers play Celtic, obviously, on Thursday.
Who's the chief exec there?
Is another guy for Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, Patrick Stewart.
So they play Celtic on Thursday, and then they're away at Easter Road next Sunday. He's not going to sack now, I don't think.
You never know. He might be in the meeting just now.
He might be. I think a working assumption is he'll be in the dugout for Thursday.
Okay. So Patrick Stewart, who walked in the door after the cup final in the Spurs game, mm-hmm. even though he'd appointed 10 days or a week before, but he didn't want to be anywhere near the place when they were about to play Spurs and Celtic in the cup, turns up on the Monday, the day after the cup final. I'm the new chief exec. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. He will be very aware, as you are and as I am, that the Rangers fans have had enough. To the point where they're talking about no going to the games, etc., etc., etc. Now, as you know, and I've said on this podcast on numerous occasions, I go on to the fans' forums. And I was on the fans' forum on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was on Follow, looking at the fans' reaction to the draw against Motherwell. And they are, I mean, to say they're angry would be an understatement. The only way that this board get the Rangers fans back on side is to give them what they want. They want blood. They want Clement out the door. Now, as you know and I know, see when the fans turn against you, i.e. the board, because you're not doing what they expect you to do, the only way out of it is by giving the fans what they want. They have to sack Clement. They have to.
Right.
Now, there has to be... Now, but why are they not? So there's a load of theories out there and conspiracies out there. The reason why they're not sacking Clement is because, A, the board are shite bags, okay. Which I don't believe. I don't believe. If you have to make a decision, you have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that necessarily is true. Or the other theory is they don't have the money to sign... Because is there not a rumour going around they're still paying Michael Beale and they're still paying Giovanni?
No, we don't know. I always think that...
I'm talking about theories. I'm not saying it's true.
No, totally. But I always think the financial stuff, obviously, given Rangers history and stuff like that, that's an easy sort of thing to throw at them, I think. I think that there's always the money to sack our manager.
Right, so then the question would be...
Because it would be, can you afford not to sack him?
Okay, so that's again one of those theories that are around that, or what is it, because they kind of pay them off or some sort of...
I don't believe that.
Right. I'm with you. I think if they wanted the money, they can easily pay him off. Aye. So my question would be this, why? What's the reason they are not getting rid of Clement?
Do you know the reason I think that plays a small part of it, possibly? As you mentioned Van Bronckhorst there, you mentioned Michael Beale. I've said on this podcast before, they shouldn't have sacked Van Bronckhorst. But they did because the fans wanted blood, because they were 6 points behind Celtic.
Yeah.
Now, Celtic were going to go on and win the league. I don't think Van Bronckhorst would
have made
up that gap. But he'd won the Scottish Cup. He'd got them to the Europa League final a few months previously. And I thought that was incredibly harsh. I thought there was a decent manager in there somewhere. Yeah, the squad wasn't great. He was still rebuilding after Gerrard.
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, with the benefit of hindsight, Gerrard got a lucky escape because Gerrard was, you know... That squad needed completely overhauled. Correct. And to be fair, I think that was one of the reasons that Gerrard left, because they didn't back him to overhaul the squad.
Yeah.
Because he knew that, right?
Yeah.
So then Van Bronckhorst had to muddle about with Gerrard's squad, managed somehow to get them to a Europa League final with putting out really decent teams along the way and winning the Scottish Cup.
So it was harsh.
I thought it was harsh. But don't let the Rangers fans rewrite history here. They wanted Van Bronckhorst out.
They did.
They wanted him out.
And the board acted.
And the board acted, right? Michael Beale comes in. Michael Beale, utter disaster. I think probably set the club back 3 or 4 years with his signings.
Yep.
Terrible.
And that's who Clement's working with now, those signings.
And he was obviously floating about before Van Bronckhorst got sacked and all the rest of it. I think that was a really, really shit thing for Rangers to do and for Michael Beale to do as well. Now, I thought Beale was a total shyster. He's out, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, disaster. You say he's working with Beale's squad. I mean, Clement's had money.
Oh, no, he has. Cortez.
Clement has spent money. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's brought in quite a lot of his own players.
Proper.
And I think the reason, to get back to my original point, why they're not doing it is because they're like, well, maybe we were a wee bit too harsh with Van Bronckhorst. Maybe we could have gave Beale more time.
Do you think that might be it?
I think that might be it. And they're like, who do we go for? Muscat's not taking the job. Not a chance.
His contract's up.
I just can't see it. Why would Muscat take that job? I think he'd be mental.
Well, apparently the chat is he was really upset and angry that he missed out when he was interviewed for the job, and for that reason he'll knock it back. Because why are you coming for me now when I was available before you gave it to Clement?
He's still in charge of the Chinese team.
Yeah, but is his contract not up at the end of the season? Have they not just won the league?
I think they've just won the league, yeah.
Aye. But my fear is, and Rangers fans might laugh at me here, my fear is the manager that I want for Hearts could turn up at Ibrox.
McInnes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think McInnes would probably...
He'd take it now.
He'd have to,
If he was offered it, he'd take it.
If you're not looking abroad, it has to be McInnes.
The thing about McInnes, and I think the Rangers fans, like myself as a Hearts fan, can see that he is a no-nonsense manager, and that's what Rangers need right now. They need stability. They need somebody in the club who knows it inside and out, knows Scottish football, make them hard to beat. I think McInnes is your man, whether it be for Rangers or for Hearts. Now, I want him at Hearts. And I think Hearts missed the trick in the summer when they replaced Naismith to not get McInnes. And I think we will regret that because Critchley is not the man.
Okay. Motherwell, though. Good point for them.
Oh, they're having a great season.
Keeps them in the race for
great season.
Fourth and third.
Great season.
Great for them.
I think Kettlewell's done a great job.
I think he's done a good job as well.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the VAR stuff. Lots to chat about there. So there we are. In fact, let's get to the VAR stuff just now. No, we won't actually. We'll go through the championship and stuff first. Let's actually do that. Because there was lots to chat about, particularly Friday night. It was the big one, Dunfermline versus Falkirk, 8,500 at East End Park. I was there. It was a cracking atmosphere. Falkirk fans making an arse of themselves during the minutes of applause for Alec Edwards, as you would expect, destroying some seats along the way as well.
But did they?
Yeah, of course they did. But as you say, there are assholes within many a support.
But it's not the entire support. It's a few arseholes, scum behaviour.
Generally, the atmosphere was great on Friday night, and it was a proper game of football in terms of there was hee-haw quality. I don't think it was a high-quality game.
It was like a good old-fashioned Scottish football
Loads
match.
Of incidents. Mm-hmm. There was no VAR to ruin it either. And
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was great. I mean, I didn't think Dunfermline played particularly well at all, but I thought absolute credit to the team sticking in. And, you know, so battling through. I mean, coming back three times from a goal down, I think, shows a wee bit of spirit and determination. And I think we'll be fine. I do think we will
see,
be fine.
See that third goal? Where were you within the stadium?
I was in the stand. I was at the behind the goals.
Were you actually behind the goal at that point? I must have been amazing.
It was great. And hang as folk left after the...
Oh, did they?
After Falkirk's third, because everyone was... It was, what, 87 minutes or something? And they thought that was game over. But brilliant. Benedictus had put in such a shift as well.
I see the boy, he looked like he was running on empty.
Total warrior and great header at the back post. Obviously, a couple of penalties.
Stonewall penalties.
I don't think you can have any complaints about either.
Producer John did.
Aye, but he's a, as we've discovered, a lazy bastard, sweaty octopus shitebag. So I think no complaints about the penalties at all. John McGlynn didn't have any complaints about the penalties either, to be fair. I thought Falkirk looked okay. I thought they were a better football team than Dunfermline, like, absolutely.
Livingston let them off the hook.
They did. We'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to mention Callum Morrison, who I thought was excellent for Falkirk.
His movement.
And this is, I've said on this podcast, it's a sign of things to come. John McGlynn starts farting about and making silly substitutions. Now, obviously, Luke Graham, their centre half, is away back to Dundee as well. He's going to be a big miss for them. Cal Morrison's going to be a really important player between now and the end of the season for them. He's their best player, I think. He caused all sorts of bother on Friday night, and McGlynn took him off. And I don't understand why he did that, to be honest with you, because he was by far and away their most effective player. Cracking goal for the first goal, good finish as well. I know you've said that Falkirk have won the league. I know there's a lot of Falkirk fans who believe they've won the league already. I don't think they have. I know Livingston let them off the hook on Saturday in terms of their results. Obviously getting beat by Raith Rovers. The gap's 6 points. I think it's still all to play for. I think Ayr United are still in while we sniff, and I think Partick Thistle coming through as well. I know they're 10 points behind Falkirk, but if we win their game in hand, it'll only be 7. So I don't think...
And
you
they've got a game against Falkirk coming up soon. If they win, that's 4.
Exactly. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on John McGlynn and Falkirk over the next few weeks, and we'll see how they handle it. We've seen how John McGlynn and his teams have handled it before, and it's not been well.
Sounds like wishful thinking from you, Stephen.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Falkirk have won the league, it's done.
Hamilton 3, Airdrie 2. Airdrie still not won a game since August. Hamilton, last minute winner for them. They'll be delighted with that. As I mentioned, Partick Thistle beating Queen's Park by 2-1. And Raith Rovers managerless on Saturday. Now got Barry Robson in charge, beating Livingston 2-1 as well. Ayr United not taking advantage of Falkirk's drop points. And they drew 0-0 with Morton, I should say, at Somerset. So that was all up to date in the Championship. League One, again, mental division. Alloa 1, Stenhouse Muir 3. Alloa really good at home. Stenhouse Muir going there and winning by 3-1. Arbroath winning the Angus Derby 3-0 against Montrose. That means Arbroath are now 4 points clear at the top of the shop. Dumbarton beating Kelty Hearts 2-0, as I mentioned. Scott Allen getting sent off in that one as well. Came on in the 63rd minute as a sub, sent off in the 68th minute, and then Kelty conceded in the 70th minute. So a bad 7 minutes for Kelty Hearts there. Inverness 1, Cove Rangers 4, and it was 1-1 between Queen of the South and Annan. Arbroath, top of the shop, Dumbarton still bottom, but on 7 points after that win against Kelty Hearts. Finally, League 2, Elgin City 2, Peterhead 0, 2-2 between Forfar and Stirling Albion. Spartans 1-0 against Edinburgh, 1-1 Stranraer against Clyde. Peterhead, I don't think that's a correct table, Producer Scott. I think Elgin City might be top of the league after that.
Oh, Producer Scott, what have you done, mate?
Yeah, no, that's all right. Don't worry about it. You apologise for your mistakes, unlike John. So Elgin City are top of the league, and it's just as well I have a really good knowledge of League Two. Otherwise, I would have just read that out verbatim there. So there we are. Let's discuss some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right then, Motherwell 2, Rangers 2. The first Motherwell goal handball on proper. VAR checked it, cleared it, goal given. Good decision, bad decision, wrong decision, right decision.
We were watching it in the studio, and as soon as it happened, I went, that's a goal, because I'm better than VAR. And it took VAR ages to make a decision on that. For me, straight away, that was never a handball. His arms into his body.
A natural position.
Natural position. I'd be questioning proper.
I think proper has looked honking.
He's shite. I'm sorry, he's shite.
The defender for both Rangers goals, I thought, were absolutely appalling.
Proper shite. Did you read his quote?
Oh, yeah. Remind me.
He was talking about the pressure of having to win every game at Rangers.
I'm not, and
we didn't have to do that at 20.
Yeah.
When he was at, oh, Jesus Christ.
Stuart Kettlewell was sent off. He was obviously unhappy about lots of decisions. One of the decisions...
He was going up the tunnel before they took the corner, so he didn't see it.
He didn't see what was just about to happen.
Yeah, because he's sent off.
Otherwise, he would have been doubly sent off, I would imagine. So from the corner, just after Kettlewell was sent to the stand, it was Jack Butland, to my eye, making a complete arse of it.
Tony Watt.
And Tony Watt was judged to have impeded him.
That's right, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I think it's a goal.
I think it's a goal as well.
But I've always thought that keepers are way overprotected. I know it's a cliche thing to say, but generally speaking, I've been watching some horrific decisions in the Premiership in England where basically you're putting a pinky on a goalkeeper and they're calling it as a foul. It's mental.
You know what I don't understand? And Stuart Kettlewell mentioned this after the game. Jack Butland shoved Tony Watt.
Shoved him out the way, then Tony Watt
Which he's entitled to do.
Yeah, yeah. So, playing devil's advocate, because keepers are so protected, when you watch that back in slow motion, so he does push Tony Watt out the way while the ball has just been struck from the corner flag. Tony Watt then goes back in and he puts his left arm over the shoulder and the top of the right arm of Jack Butland, which is the arm which he's going to go punch. So he can't extend his arm properly to do the punch because Tony Watt's arm is there, right there. It's across that part. So I'm playing devil's advocate. I can see why the referee in real time has given it, but I think VAR should have intervened to say, I think that you have made, the line is,
a clear and obvious
error there. I think that's a clear and obvious error, and that needs to be given as a goal. But I see why the referee gave it. But there's also another rule in place with IFAB and with the referees around the globe, is that they're not refereeing the game the entirety of the game, and sometimes they're just going to let the referee's decision stand, and I think that's what happened at the weekend.
I think it should have been a goal.
I think Jack Butland got extremely lucky. But they're not re-refereeing every decision, remember that.
I don't know what's happened to Butland. He's had a baby,
he's not getting any sleep.
I know, but even before that, he's had a few howlers.
He's had a few howlers.
He had a howler just after that. Now, he was lucky in the fact that the Motherwell boy was offside, and it was offside.
What was he doing?
Like, had a shocker again. He was all over the place.
Dan Casey header.
So, yeah, that was that one. I think they got that one wrong. Lennon Miller, VAR stuck with the yellow card.
Yellow card.
You think a yellow card?
Well, we called it in the studio. And in real time, I thought, oh, that boy might be in trouble. But when I watch it in slow motion, sometimes it makes it look worse. He gets the ball, but his foot rolls over the ball. It's for me, it's an accidental. He's not going out his way. Yes, it's a tough challenge. It's a hard challenge. I think it's yellow. I do think it's a yellow. I think it would have been harsh to give him a red card. If that was against my team and they got a red card for that, I'd be pissed off. If that was a Rangers player that got a red card for that, you'd be pissed off. Look at it from your perspective. If that was happening to your player or your team, would you expect a red card? And 9 times out of 10, you're going to say, no, it's not a red card.
I don't think it's a red card. There was also an incident involving Cherny and Tony Watt.
Yes.
A bit of argy-bargy there. Nah. There was chat whether it was a red card for Cherny. I don't think there was anything in that.
Nah,
I think they were
all
just sort of like a wee bit of handbags and stuff like that. I don't think there was anything in that. Celtic St Johnston. St Johnston's Kyle Cameron scores an own goal, but VAR says it's offside.
Was offside.
Okie dokie. Ross County Hearts. Couple of things here after this, actually. So VAR deemed the penalty to
James Penrice is running down the left. He's going towards the box.
So initially it's given as a penalty, and then VAR decides it's outside.
Yeah. This is a Cherny situation against Celtic in the cup final. That's a penalty. We're 2-0 up at the time. Now, you're not guaranteed you're going to convert to go 3-0 up, but every chance.
Especially with Hearts, yeah.
Shut up.
They could have conceded 3 goals in stoppage time instead. That'd have been funnier. To be fair, if it had been 3-0 and you conceded three goals, that would have been better.
We're talking about VAR here.
Aye, of course. Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
So, the Dundee... Sorry, the, not Dundee. Fuck.
You're obsessed with Dundee. What are you obsessed with Dundee for? Philip Clement lives in Dundee. Hearts were playing Dundee at Ross County at the weekend. Right, carry on. Carry on. Come on.
So the Ross County right back challenges James Penrice. Mm-hmm. The initial contact is outside the box, but the challenge continues into the box. The IFAB rule is clear, as it was pointed out after the Cherney incident in the cup final, that if the foul continues into the box, it's then a penalty. Mm-hmm. The foul continued into the box, it's a penalty. The referee got it right. VAR did everything in their power, and it took ages for them to make a decision. And see, when it takes that long, it's a fucking penalty. They got that wrong. Mm. They got it wrong, Stephen. I'm not saying that just as a Hearts man. They got that wrong. That was a penalty. And then ultimately, that has cost us.
Liam Boyce, he got a goal chopped off. He was offside.
Free kick. Blair spit off free kick, yeah.
Hibs Kilmarnock, Danny Armstrong, second yellow card.
Never a yellow card.
It's Kilmarnock's eighth red card this season. Now, again, to play devil's advocate, if you watch it at full speed, if you watch it from where the referee is, can you understand why he came in strong? I know what he was trying to do.
But the ball was there to be won. The ball was there to be won. It's at the back post. If he gets contact on that ball, it could be 1-0 Kilmarnock. That's how big a moment that was in the game. So, your point about the referee, the player's reaction sells it to the referee. The defender, the Hibs defender's reaction sells it to the referee, and the referee, I can see it from his perspective, get one view at it, why he gives a second yellow, which is why I think there needs to be a rule change. We discussed this last week. There needs to be a rule change. When your second yellow is going to get that player sent off, a referee should have
the option to look at
it, to review at it. Okay. Because it's sending a player off and it's reducing them to 10 men. I don't think it's a second yellow. I think Danny Armstrong's extremely lucky, and that law needs to change.
Okay, Dundee United, Aberdeen, there was a penalty given in the first half by John Beaton against Nicky Devlin. It was a handball. We both called it in the studio straight away that it was going to be overturned, and it was overturned by VAR. That is you. In terms of refereeing decisions, this is the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Come on.
Not in the mood to sing at all. I just want to get this shite out of the way so I can go home.
Right, overrated, underrated. So last week it was actually Alba Gaming, his suggestion of the Old Firm being overrated, underrated. Chelsea Demon says it's the most overrated football game on the planet. Since there has been no away fans, it has become an absolute embarrassment to Scottish football.
Well, I've said that for as long as no fans have been allowed in the game. It's an embarrassment to our game, and also as a spectacle for the audience around the world that watches it.
Hey, RFC, it's the only thing people outside Scotland would tune into Scottish football to watch, really.
That's shite.
Sir Randolph Davenport Smythe. It's a myth that it's the biggest derby in the world. Outside of Scotland, no one gives a shit about the game except a few expats.
That's a lie. You just need to see the reaction of other players that have got no connection to Rangers or Celtic who have ever experienced it, how they talk about the game, how they love the game, the atmosphere of the game, which is no longer there because there's no away fans. But yes, it is a big, massive game around the globe. Okay. When I lived in the Middle East, it was like...
Well, I did say it was like, except a few expats.
But wherever I am...
There'll be expats, mostly, who'll be interested in it. But I don't think Emiratis were going out to watch Celtic versus Rangers.
No, but I knew a few Americans that would go out, a few other nationalities that sit and watch the game.
Yeah, no, that they would be classed as expats, I would describe them as.
Why are you watering down such a big game? Because it is a huge game.
Listen.
It's a worldwide event.
Producer Scott, can I have a drum roll, please? He's good. Let's see, it's no difficult.
Brilliant.
It's not difficult.
As soon as you said it, bang, the drum was there.
It was very close, but 51% say that the Old Firm is not overrated.
Yeah.
There we go.
Closer than I thought it would have been.
Closer than I thought, yeah. 51, 49. And that is the last overrated, underrated.
What are we doing next week?
Something new.
Have we decided?
No. But we'll get to that next week. So next week's problem.
Let's see if producer John can pull something out of the bag. Let's put him in charge of that.
Right, at Big Football Scott, you can leave your comments there, obviously on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook as well, on TikTok. Are we on TikTok? Probably.
We're on TikTok. And, no, we're not on TikTok.
And of course,
TikTok?
You can leave your comments on Super Scoreboard's YouTube channel as well. Just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard on YouTube. Super Scoreboard's taking your calls at various times over the next few days, from 6 o'clock, Gordon Duncan and the team obviously on the second for Celtic versus Rangers, the big one, on Thursday. And then I think they're on there Saturday and Sunday this week as well. So lots happening. And obviously we're on with the big festive football show as well.
When are we on?
We are on Thursday, Saturday and Sunday.
Am I going to the Hearts Motherwell game?
Nah, I don't think so. We're going to keep you in the studio because it's better to laugh at you. But we will have former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan in the studio with us, of course. Right, time to try and unmask a footballer, I would say. Who are you?
It's not hard. Oh, is it seamless today?
It's seamless. Absolutely seamless today.
You say it, bang, the button gets pressed.
Exactly. I don't even need to point.
Nah.
Sometimes I need to point with John.
Aye. Or find out if he's there.
I know, exactly, because he's off being a sweaty octopus somewhere else. We had a nightmare, didn't we? So far we know that this player is retired. It's not a woman. They haven't played in the Champions League, but have been capped for Scotland. We also know they haven't played for both Dunfermline and West Brom. So they're no longer playing football professionally, and they have represented Scotland at a major tournament.
So I think it's something. It's either from the 80s or the 90s. It won't be below that. It'll be 82, 86, 98.
Okay.
Do you think it could be somebody from the Euros in Glasgow?
I'm trying to think players who have retired since then, though, and I can't think of any apart from David Marshall. But he's playing the Champions League, so it's not him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. The Champions League one's a really good one.
Mark, could the mass footballer be Duncan Ferguson? He played for Scotland at Euro 92 as a sub against Holland and only played in the Champions League qualifiers for Rangers against AEK Athens and Villarreal for Everton. Did he not play in the Champions League for Newcastle, Duncan Ferguson? He was there when they were kicking about Champions League, were they not?
Go and Google that. Duncan Ferguson. Because that's a good shout.
I mean, that would be a good one. That would be... I'd have to actually say fair play.
To producer John.
Yeah.
If you got Duncan Ferguson to do it.
Yeah. Where are we? Newcastle.
Duncan Ferguson.
Oh, no, actually, no. It was under Ruud Gullit. They were shite with him, eh? Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, then there were massive problems, weren't there, between him and Shearer?
Aye.
Because did he not sign Ferguson for like 7 million from Everton, Ruud Gullit?
So... do we want to narrow it down to...
Tournaments.
So, did you play for Scotland at a major tournament?
In the 80s or the 90s?
What you want to go
but for? Okay, are we going to make a determination here right now?
I think it's the 90s.
Right, so we're definitely ruling out that squad for Steve Clark.
We played
those three games, two in Glasgow and one in England.
I'm going to look at the squad. Because I don't think there's many players retired from it.
Oh, through a squad from Euro 2020?
Yeah. So, where are we? So, Craig Gordon's still playing. David Marshall is...
he's Champions League.
John McLaughlin?
It won't be him. It won't be him.
He's retired, is he not?
He is retired, aye.
Liam Cooper's still playing. Nathan Patterson, Andy Robertson, Grant Hanley, blah, 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 blah. I'm just looking because there's too many. So they're the only two players... who have retired? John McLaughlin.
It's not either of them. So,
John McLaughlin's an interesting one.
He's no longer in Scotland. He's gone back down south.
So?
Nah, it's not him.
Is he playing the Champions League for Rangers? You know?
He might have done, actually. He did get...
Oh, John McLaughlin's still playing. John McLaughlin is playing for Swansea City.
Is he?
Yes. He must be a backup.
So I think the question is, did you play in this major tournament in the 80s or the 90s? Right? So which decade are we picking?
I think we go 90s.
You think it's a 90s?
I think 90. Well, if it's not 90s, then it'll be 80s. Right. So we'll know either way.
But you, so it'll either be 1990 or 1998.
Do we go more specific and say, were you in the World Cup squad for 1998 or were you in the 92 squad for the Euros? Or so,
World 1990 World Cup.
Yeah.
So the 1990 World Cup in Italy, the 92 Euro squad, and then the 98 France.
So why don't we be this specific?
No, don't pick a tournament.
No.
We'll be here fucking till the end of the season.
Okay, so do you want to go with the 90s?
Let's rule out a decade and rule in a decade. Because if it's not the 90s and the 80s, then it's 82 and 86 is only two major tournaments. So we didn't go in the Euros in the 80s.
No, we didn't.
So it'd only be two then.
Okay, right. We've got a question, and our question is this. Did you represent Scotland at a major tournament in the 1990s?
Aye.
So it's 92, 96.
Oh, you're 96.
You're 96.
Oh, there's four.
Fuck. We should have said Euros or World Cup, because then we'd have known. Then we'd have known.
I know.
You chub. Because then...
Because there was no Euros
in the 80s.
No.
Fuck that, didn't we?
Stupid. But remember the name... Oh, no.
Right.
Do we know it's not Darren Jackson? That was also one from last week. Remember we talked about that last week?
Yeah, you guessed them and it wasn't.
It wasn't. So we know it's definitely not him.
And it's not Darren Jackson.
So
this player went to a major tournament with Scotland that was either World Cup 90, Euro 92, Euro 96 or World Cup 98. Get your suggestions in.
And they haven't played in the Champions League.
Big Football Scott.
Who would that be? But the Champions League wasn't around at the time.
Could be anyone. Could be like.
Wait. Remember, the Champions League wasn't around at that time. It was a European Cup. Is John being pedantic here?
Possibly.
Because we said Champions League.
Right. Get your suggestions in. Get your questions in for next week. What do you want us to ask? Help us out here. Abbey Football Scott. Leave your comments on YouTube as well.
Four squads.
But it's time for the quiz, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, it's a shootout quiz. Five questions each, and I'm not entirely sure what Ewan's doing. You're getting paper. Oh, I need some paper as well. Actually,
what are you doing? You're right on that.
No, because it's double sided.
They give you double. Are we cutting costs here or something?
Probably. Right there. Right, I'll just need to be creative here. Right, so you know the drill by now. Top line question and all that. We write down our answers. And this week, we have the hostess of the mostess, which is Producer Scott. How are you doing, Scott?
Hello, guys. I'm good, thank you.
Can I just say, mate, you've done a fantastic job today.
Great job.
You've pressed the really buttons when they need to be pressed. You're not a sweaty octopus like Producer Shitebag John.
Yeah.
So well done to you, mate.
Exactly. I mean, it's a low bar, Scott, but you are doing better than John.
Yeah.
So well done. Have we got any theme for this week, by the way?
Yes. So yesterday I came up with a set of questions for the big festive football show for you, which was the best of 2024 part one, and today is the best of 2024 part two. So all the questions are going to be about things that happened this year in Scottish football.
Okay.
Right, happy with that?
Go.
Let's crack on with question number one then, please.
Okay, guys. Question number one. Which Scottish Premiership side made a video asking Taylor Swift to invest in them?
You not got that? Oh, that's easy. That's easy. That's one of the easier questions. Bad start for you, Ewan. A really bad start for you.
Give us a question again.
Which Scottish Premiership side made a video asking Taylor Swift to invest in them?
Scottish Premiership side?
Yes.
That's a team in the top flight. So you've got 12 options there. Could be Rangers.
Shut up, Stephen.
Celtic. Aberdeen could be them. You got an answer?
Yeah. I've not got a fucking clue.
Right, okay. That's
you got an answer, Stephen?
I've got an answer, yeah.
And my pen's not stop working it either.
I've got, you can have this pen. Because you dropped on the floor about 15 times, so that's probably why it's not working. I'll go with my answer first, and I have gone, I don't know if you can see that, that is Motherwell.
Motherwell. Ewan, what have you got?
I went with St Johnston.
St Johnston, well, one of you is correct.
I wonder who that'll be.
That person is Stephen.
That's me. That's me.
How pathetic in Motherwell, asking Taylor Swift for help. Did that actually happen?
Yeah.
In what way? Like, seriously? Or were they ripping the past?
They were sort of, it was like an investment.
I think it was around when she was in Scotland touring, they put out a video.
It wasn't just to her. But remember the guy for Netflix was going to get involved in stuff like that?
Second question.
You'll know that, being a TV star, Channel 5's June Cameron.
Just get a second question, mate.
Yeah, second question, here we go.
Okay. Scotland were based in Garmisch-Partenkirchen at the Euros.
Mm-hmm.
Which sits below.
Wait, see before you finish the question, right? He was there. I wasn't there. You were there. You were in Germany.
I wasn't there though.
But you were in Germany.
I didn't go there.
But you know all about it.
Yeah.
Germany's a really big place.
It's huge.
But you were there.
I drove.
This is swayed towards him.
I drove from southern Germany to Cologne and it took eight hours.
Go. Yeah. What's the question?
Ewan, I promise you, the next question is actually about Scotland when Stephen was.
Scott, just do question two, mate. Let me get you here.
Scotland were based in Garmisch-Partenkirchen at the Euros, which sits below which crudely named mountain?
I know this one as well, yeah. It's somewhere. I think you would actually do well on this mountain. You'd fit in with this mountain. You would? I think people would see you on this mountain and go, yep, that makes sense. Yeah.
I've got my answer.
Right, okay.
Right.
But you can go first this time.
My answer is Twat Mountain.
Twat Mountain? I think the answer is Wank Mountain.
Is it?
Correct answer is Mount Wank.
Mount Wank. There we are.
Hold on. He went Wank Mountain.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I think that's a bit.
Come on, Ewan.
Right, okay.
Mountain. Mount Wank.
Yeah.
We're not falling out over.
Question three.
My favourite fact, which I do want to
say. I don't need facts.
No, it's good. Atop Mount Wank, there's a restaurant called the Wank House.
See? You'd like it there.
Send Neil Critchley there, mate.
Right. Question number three. You want to go for a top bin, or are you still... Because I'm winning 2-0 now.
At what point did I ask you to offer me advice?
You
don't need. I know how this game works.
You should listen to me for advice, given that I'm winning 2-0 currently.
Well, I know how this game works. I know when I want to use the top bin question. Have I said no? I don't need you to fucking tell me when to use the top bin question.
Okay, right.
I can do math. I know what the state of affairs are. It's question three. I know I've got the top bin question still to play.
Yep, okay.
I'm not ready yet. Cool. I don't need you to fucking tell me.
Right, okay. Well, we're not all on Mount Wank. Question number three.
Okay. Stephen wasn't in the country for this one, so maybe this...
You need to stop with the sarcasm as well, you prick.
Oh, it's helping. Right. What beer dropped in sales 10% whilst the Tartan Army were away for Euros 2024?
Say again?
What beer dropped in sales 10% whilst the Tartan Army were away for Euro 2024?
Right, I've got my answer. Tenants. I'm going with Tenants.
I've also gone for Tenants.
Of course you fucking have.
Tenants.
So that means Tenants is correct.
Well done, Ewan. That's you on the score sheet. 3-1 it is now. Two questions to go.
So don't say it, Stephen.
Don't say what?
What you're about to say.
I was just going to say, well done for getting that right.
No, you weren't. You were going to say, do you want to play your top bin question? Well, no, I fucking don't. I just want a normal question.
Okay. Just a normal question.
Just normal question.
So if I get this wrong and you get it right, I lose.
So you probably should go for your top end question, that's what I'm saying.
Go.
Okay. Rangers avoided a penalty being given against them for 75 league games in a row until which club had one awarded this year?
That's a top end question, you fanny.
That's a 1 in 12.
Well, 1 in 11, actually. I don't know. for
read that question again.
Rangers avoided a penalty being given against them for 75 league games in a row until which club had one awarded this year? Why are you on your phone, Stephen?
He's written down his answers.
I've written down my answer. I'm bored. Have you got an answer down?
I don't need you to write down an answer, I'll just say it.
Right, okay. Well, you say it first then.
Yeah.
I mean, I've guessed.
Well, I'm going to guess as well, because if I fucking didn't, if I knew the answer, I wouldn't be guessing, would I?
Right, let's go with Stephen's first.
No, I'm going
to... No,
I need
to say
it, because I'm not writing mine down.
He's not writing his down, okay. So right, say it.
I think it is St Mirren.
I've gone for Kilmarnock.
Okay. We'll go with Ewan's first, so St Mirren.
I was clearly wrong, because you wouldn't have done it that way. Fuck me, this is shite. I'm going home. What a shit show this has been. It's just been shit.
Right or wrong?
It's wrong.
A Marshall has saved!
What's wrong?
Yes! Oh, wait, then you've still got your top bin.
If you've got this right.
I know, but I don't know if I've got it right.
Of course you're going to be right. I bet you any money he's right.
I guessed.
Yeah, I know you guessed, but again, just like how fucking every week works, when you guess, you still get it fucking right.
Right. Is Kilmarnock the correct answer?
Yes.
That's a total guess. It was a total guess. Total guess. Give me the music. Give me the music. Great times. Great times. There he goes. There's a wee coffee this week as well. Keep them going. Perk them up. Right, Ewan, nice doing a quiz with you. That was really pathetic from you this week. Like, really, really pathetic from you. Like, even by your standards, that was bad. Bad. Thank you to everyone for all the support, as per usual, with the quiz. I do enjoy all the positive feedback when I beat Ewan Cameron at quizzes on a weekly basis. I get to do it twice now. Yeah, week, because we do it on the radio show as well. So great times, great times. And that is just about it. If you'd like to fire the final bit of music for us, please, Scott, that would be fantastic. There we are. Okay, that is it from the Big Scottish Football Podcast for 2024 or 2024. Thank you so much for watching, for listening, for commenting, and we hope you do the same next year as well. We are back next Monday for another Big Scottish Football Podcast. We'll have a brand new feature to replace Overrated Underrated. What that is, we do not know. Get involved at Big Football Scott as well if you've got any suggestions for the Masked Footballer. And of course, always leave your comments on YouTube as well about Channel 5's Ewan Cameron. And please, please make it stick. Thank you very much for listening, watching and commenting this year. We'll catch you on the other side. Enjoy your new year and see you in 2025. Goodbye for now.